So I'm here at University of Notre Dame, South Bend, Indiana, workshopping William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged. It's up. It's running. People seem to be delighted. And it's an interesting place to be because there is Shakespeare at Notre Dame. There is the Notre Dame Shakespeare Festival. There is our friend Peter Holland, the McNeil family professor of Shakespeare studies here at Notre Dame, who oversees sort of spiritually these organizations. And then there is Grant Mudge, who is the producing artistic director of which of these? How many of these?
The Notre Dame Shakespeare Festival. Don't forget actors from the London stage.
Oh my God, it just keeps going with you guys. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 454, Notre Dame Shakespeare. Shakespeare comes in many forms at the University of Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana, and Notre Dame Shakespeare Festival producing artistic director Grant Mudge sat down with me a few weeks ago to help sort them all out. Do a better job than I just did of explaining this massive organization you have here at Notre Dame.
Sure, and actually it's four of us and Peter. Okay. And then we swell, of course, to a much larger organization in the summertime when we are producing the Notre Dame Shakespeare Festival. A little unusual for an organization to have both a producing artistic director and an executive director. Uh-huh. But Scott Jackson is my principal colleague. And Peter Holland does oversee, I like that very much, Peter, spiritually, the all of the workings of Shakespeare Notre Dame, Shakespeare at Notre Dame.
Oh my God, even you screwed up. Okay, yeah, all right.
The Summer Festival is the professional equity company in residence. In other words, South Bend, Indiana does not have an enormous population of equity actors. There are a few.
Right.
But we pull from Chicago and Milwaukee and New York and Los Angeles and the Bay Area, and we produce a festival of essentially four programs each summer. And they are The Young Company, which is undergrads and recent grads, mm-hmm. Shake Scenes, which is our community company, folks from all around the region of all ages, 8 to 80 and then some, play 10 or 20-minute scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the professional company, which this year includes The Winter's Tale in a full epic scale production on the Patricia George DCO stage.
I've seen the set. It does look epic.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. And a tremendous, tremendous cast. Great director there, Drew Frazier. And also, the opening before them, the William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, part of now our professional company series, mm-hmm. and also helping us create a subscription season. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Yeah. And then there was also Actors from the London Stage. What is that?
Actors from the London Stage, or AFTLS for short, because speaking Actors from the London Stage every time you say
right.
that phrase gets long. Is a five-actor troupe of, as you would expect, London-based actors who've worked, you know, in the West End and, you know, for the RSC and the Globe and the National Theater, and they tour throughout the United States teaching week-long residencies, performing three or four performances in that week. 25 years ago, in 1990, a little wide-eyed undergrad named Grant Mudge sat down to watch this cast of British actors. That's the photo of them on the wall there behind you. Mm-hmm. Perform As You Like It. And my head exploded. And it was the central inspiring event of sort of, we all kind of find that Inception performance that got us all started
right.
on this one. It was that cast of AFTLS for me.
Well, and I saw their production of the Scottish play when it played Valparaiso University.
Right.
And as I think you were saying, you know, your favorite Shakespeare is five actors and some scarves,
yeah.
you know, just playing all the parts. And this was not unlike that sort of aesthetic. And it was so powerful. You know, it's just when you, simple actors telling the story with passion and commitment and clarity and of language and thought, it's, you know, it's hard to top.
It's extremely hard to top. Also works pretty well with three.
Yeah.
in the current iteration.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the structure
okay.
of what we do. We're among those programs and a host of other academic ones that we support as well, We're in production about 42 or 52 weeks a year, mm-hmm. and with a core staff of really just a handful of I suspect mad but very dedicated and lovely folks.
Right.
And then in the summertime, about 76 wow. or so.
Wow.
So
it's,
well, and you have the resources, I imagine, of Notre Dame University to draw on, which I guess is both probably a blessing and a challenge sometimes when you're dealing with a massive organization and structure like
that. It is, and any kind of change. Of course, is like, you know, altering the course of an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, right.
But in terms of support, it's wonderful. It's a small annual support from the university. It's not huge. But what has been established even in the years before I came, and so this was, yes, please, I would be happy to come here.
Yeah,
and
right.
Do this was right. A terrific collection of endowment supports. Mm-hmm. And so, in order to grow, of course. Those have to grow, so too. But certainly what we do already, my position and the festival, for example, supported by the Ryan Family Endowment, so my title is technically the Ryan Family Producing Artistic Director.
Okay.
And the director of the other professional company shows supported by the Abdo family. And then the other that makes sense, too, is the Costume Endowment from the Johnson.
Nice.
So this is a tremendous level of support.
Yeah.
It does allow us to be facile.
Well, and you should be like NASCAR professors, you know, with your sponsorships on your tweed jackets with the leather elbow patches.
I do have a badge, actually.
Oh, good.
I put that on there.
What is your background? Do you come to this as a producer, as a director, as a scholar, as an actor, all of the above?
I think Abigail Rokeson coined this term, and I really liked it. It was on the academic side and on the practitioner side. She put the two words together, and it became pracademic, which I thought was fun. I went to my undergrad is in English and theater.
Okay.
Never suspecting in my wildest dreams I would be an artistic director of a Shakespeare festival. And 4 years after graduating, I was.
Okay.
In Richmond, Virginia. I was the founding artistic director of the Richmond Shakespeare Festival. And it was learning by doing. We unsurprisingly created a five-actor troupe with limited, mm-hmm. Limited costumes, no set, a van, and because of that performance of As You Like It that I saw those many moons before, we toured 23 states and upwards of 200,000 people in little tiny 99-seat spaces, most of them, some very, very huge, you know, venues as well,
yeah,
including a few not too far from here in Indiana, actually, along the tour. And it proved hugely successful. Then that company also, we had a broader summer festival at an incredible venue called Edgecroft Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an authentic Tudor building that stood in England when Shakespeare was alive. And we played in the courtyard, just as Shakespeare's actors would have done when they were on tour away from London. And that festival still is in operation. And they had a great summer, I heard. And
so I've touched a folio. But you have actually trod upon actual Elizabethan boards.
Well, it's certainly in a manner of speaking, they have a huge paned window, leaded glass, kind of, you know, the diamond shaped paint, which is on the, along that, and it was shipped intact. This, you know, 20 foot, you know, long and 12 foot window, aboard ship, you know, and crated up, and so
and numbered, and so you could put it back together like a puzzle.
Yeah, exactly, like a puzzle. So, a la London Bridge, reassembled there, and so we would always tease the primary company in Virginia, apart from the Virginia Shakespeare Festival, is the American Shakespeare Center in Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
The Blackfriars Playhouse and Ralph Allen Cohen and Jim Warren, and we would gently sort of tease them that, yes, they have a really terrific recreation,
right.
But we had the real thing.
Hi, I'm Jennifer King, Artistic Director of Shakespeare Napa Valley, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Next month, we begin our fall of 2015 tour performing The Complete History of Comedy Abridged and The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Virginia, California, Louisiana, North Carolina, Missouri, and Kansas. And then, next April and May of 2016, we'll perform the official Reduced Shakespeare Company premiere of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, at the Folger Theater at the Folger Shakespeare Library in Washington, D.C. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader or email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Grant Mudge, producing artistic director of the Notre Dame Shakespeare Festival. So now you're doing The Winter's Tale as part of this season. And do you do one or two plays as part of every season?
This is the first time we've done a full run of a second show for the Notre Dame Shakespeare Festival. We, in the past, have had abbreviated runs. We had a concert version of Kiss Me, Kate, and a couple of other events along those lines. But we have this beautiful performing arts center and use only a fraction of its available nights of performance throughout the summer. We wanted to make that leap toward expansion.
And why The Winter's Tale? I confess that is a play I've seen more often than anybody should have to.
You're an anomaly by a significant degree. Most folks haven't heard or experienced The Winter's Tale, and I adore it as a play. So that's kind of my in.
That's the only reason to do it, really. You've got to adore it.
You do.
For sure.
You have to. Yeah. I just watched a scene in rehearsal upstairs, and was amazed at how emotional I got just watching the rehearsal. But we're embarked on an effort to look at the late plays, principally because of next year's anniversary. You have a great coined phrase that you've come up with, which is I should let you do it.
Oh, the death-iversary.
The death-iversary, yes, right. Yeah. We're not shouting, woohoo, Shakespeare died, but rather that we're celebrating the beginning of his legacy. And late in his life, he's returning to a series of themes over and over and over. We sort of remember... often in the Shakespeare plays, the characters find themselves headed out into the woods in Shakespeare or in Stephen Sondheim musicals. and they tend to find their truer selves or truer versions of themselves and then return back renewed and reinvigorated from them. There's the woods in As You Like It, in A Midsummer Night's Dream, even in Othello, we go from Imperial Venice to the sort of more wild era, Cyprus, the island of Cyprus. And this happens over and over and over again. Certainly the case.
In his later plays.
Yes,
yeah.
Especially in the later plays from the tragedies. And in The Winter's Tale, no exception, we go from a kind of tightly buttoned up, near surveillance state in Sicilia, which feels to me very much... As Elizabethan London might have felt to Londoners. Right. Then we slide over 16 years to the wilds of Bohemia, the seacoast of Bohemia.
Yeah.
Look it up, you'll find it. And it's a rural, more sylvan, more wild. There's some beasts of prey that lurk. But again, the characters who find themselves there find whatever it is they need and are able to return to that city life, having found that truer aspect of themselves or some kind of redemption or forgiveness. And it's usually between a father and a daughter.
Okay.
And so my whole theory here, loosely stitched together, is that here's a guy who spends some of his time returning back to the town of his birth, the town where his wife and family live in Stratford-upon-Avon, the former, the Forest of Arden, as you like it, literally. And then, of course, is back into the hubbub and the buzz of Elizabethan London.
And yet, in these later plays, there's there are these magical elements. Do you know from where Shakespeare got that all of a sudden? I mean, there's spirits and ghosts in all the plays, but now there's actual magic being done.
Cast on stage, in fact, I think it has to come from those natural roots in rural England.
Okay.
The English are obsessed with a sense of the pastoral, the idyllic, the natural. We, in fact, in The Winter's Tale, we find one of the characters, Florizel, disguises himself as a character named Doricles, which is just a fun dorky name right there.
Yeah, right.
And
literally.
Yeah. We learned that Doricles is the rough meaning of the name is the glory of the spear.
Okay,
a little Shakespeare joke.
Sure,
why not? But he also was the prince of Arcadia, and of course the English are obsessed with that sense of an Edenic, idyllic, pastoral place, ancient Hellenistic Greece. Sure, absolutely. But every time we see it recur in Shakespeare's plays, they have these wonderful rustic characters like the mechanicals in A Midsummer Night's Dream. And these feel very English, not at all Athenian or Arcadian.
Right.
They feel like English workmen.
Right. He's writing about his own time and his own people, no matter where he sets the place. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't mean to dodge the question about magic and mystery, but I think much of it does come from that sense of, you know, the nighttime sky as you're walking through it in the hills around Stratford, because Shakespeare would have probably walked.
Yeah.
You know, getting a horse, that was expensive later on.
Does it feel like the magic is a fantasy wish fulfillment, or does it feel like magic is a real thing to him in some way? Or is he metaphorically talking about the magic of theater?
Yeah, I think the latter certainly, but I think the former two can be combined with that. And the Tempest, we can certainly sense a writer describing a farewell to his own art.
Right.
Though we think he was planning a comeback even at that pace. You know, I'll break my staff, bury it certain fathoms in the earth, and deeper than did ever plummet sound, I'll drown my book.
Mm-hmm.
Lie there, my art, he says to his magic cloak. You know, you can see him in the round theater of the globe speaking those lines and sort of saying farewell to the magic that was creating these characters, bringing them back out of graves to live standing up in front of the groundlings and the people in the Lord's boxes. That's tremendously exciting to me, and it's why I wanted to continue an exploration of the later plays. Prior to my arrival, we had done Cymbeline here at NDSF, another acronym.
Yep.
We had, looking at Winter's Tale right now, you might be able to imagine some of the other plays that are later on in his career. There are plays like Pericles and Tunable Kinsman and Tempest. And,
sure.
They often have everything thrown into them in the kitchen sink. Huge dance sequences, tons and tons of music. There's stage combat sequences thrown into them. It's as if Shakespeare was pulling out all the stops.
All the tricks, as the showman he was.
All the magic.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your peculiar acronym via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also contact us on Facebook or Twitter, and we will respond. Some of you actually posted reviews of this podcast on iTunes. Thank you very much for those. If you haven't done it yet, it's not too late, and every review helps. Just click on over to iTunes or Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all the social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, old shepherd Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Stephanie Glennon. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Jennifer King, Artistic Director of Shakespeare Napa Valley, which produced the original workshop production of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, which is playing at NDSF. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 454, 1360 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Notre Dame Shakespeare Festival only does one or two plays a season at that rate. It's going to be 20 years to kind of shoot the cannon. Is that your goal?
Well, we count into there the shows that Actors from the London Stage does as well. I do not oversee those. Importantly, that's a directorless. The actors direct the play themselves.
Okay.
They get some guidance from Scott Jackson and Peter Holland a little bit as well. And so that's two shows per year there. So there's those two. There's the young company. There's the professional company. And if we continue expanding that, then we're getting to five or six or so. It's a very busy year, but it's a lovely year as well, and an incredible facility and lovely people with whom to work.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.